All of my assistants, past and present, know that I like happy endings. For instance, if I go to the movies and I'm going to invest maybe 2, even more hours watching a movie and spending over $10, and that doesn't include whatever you drink or eat and so on, I want to come out happy. I don't want to come out miserable or confused. And I have to say, with Father Farrell, you have to be careful because he likes weird movies. But other than that, you know, I want to be happy. Well, in a way, our Lord is giving the apostles the happy ending before the whole story has played out. So Jesus goes up this mountain. But before, we should not forget, just a few verses prior in chapter 16 of St. Matthew's Gospel, Jesus has told the apostles, I am going to go to Jerusalem, be arrested, mistreated by the Jewish and Roman leaders, die, but rise again. He also tells them, if you want to be my disciple, you have to deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow me. So with that, which probably the apostles didn't take too much to heart, he now is going to give them that happy ending. So he goes up Mount Tabor, which is near the Sea of Galilee, and suddenly he's transfigured. He appears glorious. The Greek word here is metamorphosed. So you can imagine this radical change of being. As the gospel says, his face shined like the sun, and his clothes were dazzling white. On one hand was Moses, the one who received the law, the Ten Commandments from God, and who led the people to the promised land. And on the other hand was Elijah, the first great prophet. So here our Lord is showing to his apostles, he has fulfilled all of the law, fulfilled all of the prophecies. He is going to be the one who delivers us from the slavery of sin and leads us to the promised land of heaven. By his passion, death, and resurrection, he will have forgiven our sins and opened the gates of heaven. How wonderful it is. Here is Jesus, the Word of God, who became flesh, who has perfectly revealed God's truth and love. St. Peter is just ecstatic at this, and he says, well, let's build 3 tents. It's almost like St. Peter wants to skip the rest of the story and come right to the conclusion, to the happy ending. But with that, we hear the voice of the Father saying, this is my beloved Son, listen to him. Don't just hear, listen. And then it's all over. For that happy ending to come, they are going to have to make the journey. Not so much up the physical mountain, but the spiritual mountain. They're going to have to keep on following Christ. What does that mean? Well, if we continue on, in a short while, Jesus will go to Jerusalem. The apostles will witness him being arrested, mistreated, condemned unjustly. They will see him scourged and crowned with thorns. They will see him hang on that cross in that awful death of crucifixion. They'll see him buried. One could think, for any of us, how devastating that would be. But our Lord has given them the transfiguration to show them and prepare them that beyond that is the happy ending. He will rise again. He will conquer suffering, sin, and death. He will open the gates of heaven. Nevertheless, you have to follow the path. Climb the mountain. One might ask, why was it that it was just Peter and James and John? Well, I think for good reason. We have St. Peter, of course, the first pope, who would lead the early church and have to face his own trials and difficulties and face martyrdom. St. James the Greater was the first martyr. He died in the year 42, so the first apostle to give true witness to the faith by death. And then St. John would be the one who survives the means of execution and will live until the 90s, himself gaining age into the 90s, and really teaching the early church fathers, like St. Ignatius of Antioch. So there must have been a good reason why these three were selected. They would be able to bolster the faith of the others. So with that in mind, on the second Sunday of Lent, my brothers and sisters, you and I have to look at ourselves and remind ourselves that we're on this journey, beginning with our baptism. And St. Paul reminds us that we are called to really come to that holy life, that we are called to be those true disciples. Granted, our journey of life is unknown. We don't know what's going to happen tomorrow or next year, but we are assured of the happy ending, that if we persevere and we follow our Lord and we are that good disciple, we will come to the happy ending of heaven. Nevertheless, right here and now, we have to look at our lives. So Lent is a time to pause on this journey and look where we are. To put it in perspective, I think of a dear friend of mine. His name is Dennis, and I've known him since I was ordained. He and his wife was my first convert. I married them. I baptized their one child. Child's now off into past law school even. But for the past probably 15 years, their family vacation has been to Wyoming. They go to one of those ranches. Well, Dennis and his son always take a day to hike up a mountain. Now, they aren't scaling the side of a cliff or something like that, but they are following this trail. He's told me that over the years, they've had some interesting experience. One was that his son once got too close to the edge, slipped, slid down like 20 feet, sprained his ankle. Could have been worse. And then once, they faced a grizzly bear. And they thought, what do we do? Quick thinking, throw the bag of food to the grizzly bear and slide down the hill as fast as you can. Another time, they're up towards the top of the mountain, and all of a sudden, the weather changed. The snow squall came in, and they were stuck for several hours, hoping that they'd even be able to get down the mountain that night. Well, in a way, that's our life too. But it's a life, remember, of constant transfiguration where the grace of God is working with us as we're climbing up. So this Lent's a time when we look at our lives honestly and think, on this journey, do I have grizzly bears, these wild beasts in my life? Not so much animals, but those passions. The pride, anger, greed, lust, gluttony, sloth, and envy. What's the beast within my soul that I struggle with? Lent's the time to tame the beast. This is why, for instance, if gluttony's the problem with food or drink, then we give that up. We abstain. If greed's the problem, and money's become too much of an idol in our life, we need to tithe and make sure we're giving generously to good works, whether it might be the Lenten cross, the monks in Norcia, whatever cause it may be. If anger's the beast, and this tongue is like the uncontrolled tongue, then we have to tame that and work on being patient, thinking about our words before we speak. If it's lust that's the problem, then we need to fight the temptations and avoid especially the occasions of sin, perhaps taking drastic action. But in all, we're called to tame those beasts. Listen to Jesus. What did he say last Sunday when the devil tempted him about turning the stone into bread to satisfy the hunger? He said, one does not live by bread alone. We don't live by the passions alone. We have to tame them, transfigure our lives with the grace of God to help us. We also have to think, have I slid off the path? Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. So Lent's a time to pause, look at our souls honestly, and ask, how have I sinned? We've all sinned. St. John even says, anyone who says he has no sin is a liar. Granted, probably venial sin. Maybe it's the same sins we're always confessing. Maybe a mortal sin. Whatever it is, and no matter how long it's been, we go to confession. Jesus said, if you love me, you'll keep the commandments. So if we've broken the commandments, we've broken the love. And we need to return to that love. So we go to confession. All of us here during Lent need to receive that transfiguring grace of confession and through absolution so that we can live fully that life as a child of God on that growth in holiness. Then also we have to look at our lives and think how we may have been paralyzed by some situation, that like snow squall, it just erupts. Well, we could look back at our life and say, well, there was this time period when I had this problem. Reflect on that and ask, how did God's grace work? And could we not see the Lord in our life at that time? Maybe right now we're going through a problem. The sudden, like paralyzing event could be a financial issue, medical issue, loss of someone we love. Here again, we turn to our Lord. Jesus said numerous times to the apostles, do not be afraid. He is with us. And that's a beautiful transfiguring grace when we know the presence of our Lord. So that even though we might be stuck in this present moment, nevertheless, Christ is with us. And eventually, that moment passes on. Even if it's the worst Good Friday, it passes on to an Easter if we stay with our Lord. I think of a saint who was recently canonized in the year 2000, Sister Josephine Bakita. She was born in the Sudan, southern Sudan, in 1869. Same problems then as there are today in Sudan. Muslims came down from the north, captured her, sold her into slavery at the age of 9. For several years, she had several masters. One of her masters beat her every day so that she had 144 scars to look at on her body for the rest of her life. But then when she was about 16 years old, an Italian family, who was a diplomatic family, bought her. And with that, she found a little bit of a new life, at least a civilized life. And she also became acquainted with Christianity. Eventually, the family moved to Italy, and she was freed. But she looked back at her life, and she remembers when she first saw the crucifix and our Lord there and learned about who Jesus is and what he has done for us. And she said, I know that I am definitely loved, and whatever happens to me, I am awaited by this love, and so my life is good. And later she said, if I were to meet the slave traders who kidnapped me and those who tortured me, I would kneel and kiss their hands, for if that did not happen, I would not be a Christian today. That is a transfigured life. Here she could see, despite the paralysis of the moment, she could see that Christ was with her. And later, she could look back and see that Christ was with her, and things worked out for good. She had grown holier. She had grown in love for the Lord. So my brothers and sisters, we pause this second Sunday of Lent, and we need to ask ourselves, where am I on that journey? Am I really taking this time to be transfigured by God's grace, to be that holy person, to be that reflection of the image of Christ? If we do that this Lent, then Easter will be a joy. More importantly, if we continue to strive to do this and climb that mountain, one day we'll see the glory of heaven. May God bless you.